Welcome to the Cult Film Showdown's controversial Saturday morning cartoons series. I am your host, Jim Cotta, and I am joined by my co-host, Nick Boxer.
Hi.
Best color man. Best color man in the business. And put down that bowl of Pac-Mans. It is Jack Hall.
You remember the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, macaroni and cheese that they made? It tasted better than mac and cheese, the Kraft. It tasted better than that. Remember that one?
It was the turtle that gives it that flavor.
Oh, wait, the turtle flavor is delicious. Yeah, it was a green box, yeah.
No, I meant the noodles. Were they not green?
No, they were not, no. I don't think. I don't know. All I remember is it was delicious, and I was real pissed when they pulled it from the market.
Let's start a change.org sign up to bring it back. I hear turtle is really good eating. I've never had it in me to like cook it myself. Like you can get it. I think I'd need someone to cook it for me, then I could have it.
I don't know why. I feel better eating alligator than turtle.
I mean, again, I'm not preparing the alligator myself.
Yeah.
I think I could eat pretty much anything if it was like put in front of me and properly cooked, and I'm like, and they're like, hey, this is spotted owl. I'm like, oh, I'll give it a shot. I mean, it's here.
So you're not adventuresome, but you are lazy. Is that the?
Yes, both. Yeah. Yeah, like I'll try pretty much anything. I don't think I've ever like stepped away from something.
They were not green. They were not green. Right now on eBay, I can get a box of TMNT pasta dinner mac and cheese from 1992 for only $100.
Jeepers. Wow.
One box. And then I'd eat it. It was delicious. And I don't think 1992, I don't think that goes bad.
See, I need one of those monetized TikTok or YouTube things where like you buy $100 things and then people watch you eat it. Like,
oh, yeah.
You want someone to underwrite that.
I like that it says condition used.
Oh, no. So it's
really wonder.
That sounds like it's just the box.
I think it's just the box.
Oh, what a rip. Man, I would be so mad if I had missed the small writing. And
oh, no kidding. You're like getting it to eat it, and then you don't. Oh, well. Anyways.
I'd hold on that. Because they recreated those turtle pops, the ice cream bars. I think Funko's selling them or something.
Oh, yeah.
In a plastic form. So, you know, if you just want the box, I'm sure Funko's going to come out with the Kraft cheese and macaroni version of something. People are nostalgic about the turtles.
I don't want the box. I want the actual food. I would eat food 40 years old. I would. If it was cheese and mac, that was TMNT. Anyways, speaking of TMNT and cartoons,
There's an
let's transition to what we're actually here.
There is an N with apostrophes on either side of it in the title of our Saturday morning cartoon this time out. So the series, controversial Saturday morning cartoons, we're close to the end of it. And this whole series has been about animated shows, either weekday or Saturday morning, that were based on R-rated properties. We've seen some interesting ones, some leaps of going from R to G. This time we have a different sort of show. It is Kid in Play from 1990. Jack, can you tell us a bit about this one?
Yeah, this one's very interesting. Kid in Play's first album came out in, 1988, I believe. And 88 or 87, and it was 88. Very clean, very clean. As by 1990, Already you had started to see the popularity of gangster rap, some more hardcore stuff come into play. So in 1990, they did the movie House Party, which was an R-rated movie, mainly for language. And that was in January of 1990 that came out. Then their next album came out, Funhouse, which had some explicit lyrics on it and was about, as they're trying to toughen themselves up a little bit with that one and with their next album, which was even more hardcore in 1991. But in 1990, in March, that came out. This cartoon came out in September of 1990. So by this point, they were, their target audience was probably 13, 14 year olds, largely boys and up. So to the point where the language was stuff that they used and heard every day, their target audience, but that wouldn't be used in polite company. And so it was kind of in that gray area of, yes, parents, some parents would be okay if you're listening to their stuff and some parents wouldn't be. Kind of that PG-13, maybe a little bit more hardcore than PG-13 area. The series itself is produced by Marvel, who did a comic book based on it in 1992. And Saban Entertainment, who is probably best known for adapting, what is it, Super Sentai, I think was the property, into the Power Rangers. Oh. Here in America. It aired on NBC and lasted only 13 episodes. Then later on, Kid and Play would, the gentleman who did it, I don't remember his name. I could look it up. Give me a second. But he, his name was John Semper. He did their third movie, Class Act, I believe it was called. Not very good, after they'd done House Party and House Party 2. And then he went on to do the excellent mid-90s Marvel Spider-Man the Animated Series.
Oh, wow.
Perhaps making up for this, but perhaps not, because I did watch this. And it's something.
That is sort of like gumming your food, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Completely toothless.
It's an amazing piece. I'll let you get on. I hope that gives everybody an idea of what the controversy is, that this is a pair of performers who are going into a more adult and has some more adult related products out there. And we're going in that direction to combat the fact that these cleaner rap acts were now falling out of favor and were being made fun of to a degree. At the same time as this youth-oriented cartoon came out. So that would be why it would be qualify for controversial cartoons. And I think Nick, you need to tell us what the hell happened this episode, if you can.
I certainly can. You might have noticed from my greeting at the beginning of the podcast, my greeting was short as the plot is of this particular cartoon. Kid and Play are teenage rappers in high school, and Kid decides he needs to get a date with a girl.
Play.
So he lies about.
Play decides.
Sorry?
Kid is the one with the longer hair and is the more responsible of the two. Play is the one who is going after the woman and is the more ambitious and irresponsible of the two.
Okay. Play. Did I get that right? Decides he needs to get a date with a girl. And the way to get a date with a girl is to lie about a rapping gig that they do not have.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's
somehow
the whole episode.
Is going to get him a date. And when they can't get, when he gets the date, they don't have a gig, so they have to get the gig. And when they can't get the gig, a jazz legend tells them to move the gig into an abandoned theater and have it there, and everyone knows just to show up there. And there's that. A group of bad guy rappers who call the fire department on them because they're the only ones that realize that the old building is condemned. And then everyone dances so hard that the building falls down. And the bad guy rappers run in as everyone's running out of the venue. And we learn a lesson that lying to get dates is bad. And old jazz legends talk about the old days and jazz musicians.
What was the jazz guy's name? It was something just like, you know,
King Blue, I think.
King Blue, something like that. I agree with your summary that he does more or less tell them to use that venue. He's like, hey, there's a place over there. And then at the very end, he's like, why did you use that? Like, you never should have gone in there. Like, come on.
I'm also trying to figure out why the fire department poured water on a building that's falling down.
So the fire department arrives. They usher everyone. Everyone's already out, so they think the building's empty. And they're like, okay, turn the hoses on. It does seem like their goal was to collapse the building completely using water. But that's the best I can interpret that. Which seems like not the way to do it.
And we didn't even mention there's a dog with a camera in this, and I never figured that part out.
Yeah, it must have been something just built for the whole series, I would assume. It's they're performing some dance moves. Play is doing dance with a couple of girls, and for some reason they need to sneakily shoot this. So they got their dog up on a fence with a camera strapped to his head, which was hilarious. And then that dog is like on the roof of the vehicle as they drive away. He's hanging onto the antenna like it's a cartoon. But then when he takes the camera off, he has a mohawk, which was incredible.
Yeah, an incredible mohawk. I tell you, the job they did of introducing the characters and telling you their names and who they were and what they was unbelievably poor. I'm like, I still don't know what the name of that dog is. I don't know, like, most of the people in the actual groups, you know, what their different names are. It was very confusing the way it was introduced. And there's a lot of characters. I mean, there's a lot of characters. You know,
now, and did anyone figure out if Jazzy was supposed to be DJ Jazzy Jeff from Fresh Prince and from Bel Air? Because I was reading a little bit about A Kid in Play, and they were somehow associated with them at one point.
Were they? How was that?
Somehow, supposedly House Party was supposed to be a Fresh Prince project, and
oh, yeah.
It didn't happen, and I don't know. I got very confused.
It sounds like if anything, there's heat between them instead of corroboration. I mean, I know that the Kid and Play have come out and said that's not true and such. So, I also spent
a lot of time trying to figure out which voice was Martin Lawrence in this, because supposedly he was in it.
Yeah, he was DJ Wiz, and the DJ's name was DJ Wiz. Jazzy was their... more like their producer. So there it was just a coincidence. There is no actual, it is not DJ Jazzy Jeff in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, so you know, grain of salt, DJ Jazzy Jeff has said that the movie was going to be, that House Party was going to be him and Fresh Prince. And they didn't want to do it because they had just done something else in the movies, and Kid and Play did it. Kid and Play say that's not true. So that's where all that goes.
Martin Lawrence played DJ Wiz and Herbal. Tommy Davidson, probably best known for In Living Color, as well as interview on We Talk Music on this very same podcast network, We Talk Podcasts. Jazzy, he played Jazzy in Acorn. And Rain Pryor is probably the only other person who people might know. Richard Pryor's daughter played BB. You know, I don't know if the voice actors were any good, because the background music they had was so loud, I couldn't make out any dialogue.
Oh God! If you are sensitive to sound, then this is a bad one for you. There should be a warning on this one. This is like a, you know, they give the visual effects warning for strobe lights. This needs that. There's a bit where one of their pals doesn't have his music equipment, so he starts. I don't even remember what it was called, freestyling. We were making like the sounds, and he does this like, "Hey, I can do a record scratch sound."
Beatboxing, I think it's called beatboxing.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. He may start doing a record scratch sound that he does for about 40 minutes, I think, out of this 20 minute show. It just seems to go on and on.
And they sort of set that up as a joke, and then everyone sort of decides it's cool, and they go into this like a really long segment of him just miming music.
Yeah, it's like, it's the really long part that is so weird. Like it's, and it doesn't lead into one of their songs, which is what you would expect. Like it's just a thing that happens.
I haven't even figured out how this gig was supposed to get him the date.
No, that part of the plan is really unclear. Because, he said...
It's supposed to be that he's playing this major club, and because they're playing this major club, he's so cool. Because they say he's after this one girl that is his sister's friend.
Yeah.
And this girl, he really wants to date her, and they say she's dating somebody who is an honor student at one point during the episode, which makes him kind of a scumbag trying to date somebody and take away, but whatever.
He's all that aside, he made the date, the date of the gig that night.
That's so weird.
So unless they have the gig.
Yeah, the jig's going to be up on this pretty fast. Yeah. He would have been better off saying they had the gig yesterday. Like, if it was going to be like that.
2 weeks lead time. At least you just think you're cool for 2 weeks. If having a gig at the yo-yo club is cool enough to sustain you that long, I think.
Well, what's hilarious is that, so you had mentioned that clearly they didn't really have an act at the Yo-Yo Club, and they in the space of a couple of hours they completely clean up this condemned building that they don't know is condemned, and they have like a light show, and it's like, and a DJ, it's awesome, and to bring people there they put a sign on the door of the Yo-Yo Club, which for some reason is closed that day already.
Nobody who works there or nobody that walks by would go, huh? You know,
there was a lot of flaws in the plan that they were making leaps of logic I wasn't following.
I had less reality to its process than a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
I really believe that this episode. Like we started this thing doing the cult film showdown, the search for the ultimate B movie, where we have the octagon, where we keep track of what is that search for the ultimate B movie. Right now, A Hard Rock Zombies is the ultimate B movie, but I mean Ninja 3 and Miami Connection and some of these ones. This probably might have the most in common with those of any of the cartoons we've seen, just because of the I don't know if it's so bad it's good, but it's definitely so, like, it's so bad. At least, and we're burying the lead here. We haven't even talked about it has the same mechanic where they wrap real life performances, I guess you would call them, by Kid and Play, into the beginning and end of this show, much like Karate Commandos had Chuck Norris or Mr. T had Mr. T at the beginning and end. This one does too, except for it's pretty clear they don't have a script or anybody to say, Mike in the shot, Mike in the shot.
Oh, you got that. Yeah, that's the boom mic pops in like far into the frame.
Oh, yeah.
I watched that and I'm like, okay, either you screwed up the frame the entire, like, through the whole day, or this is one take. You shot this one take once.
Clearly didn't have a script. They clearly didn't have a script because it's just them going, hey, I think we should take this building and we should clean, or we should play going, and we should do something with it. We should turn it into like a series of, I don't know, laundromats or something like that. And he's like, oh, I wish, and play. And then Kid's like, no, that would be irresponsible. He goes, you always say I'm irresponsible. Yeah. Do you not want to do this? No. And then it ends for no reason. There's no punchline. There's no listen. There's no, it just ends. There's just, it's like they said to them, go out there and improvise for 30 seconds and we'll put it in the show. And we don't care if it's any good. And this was on NBC like this.
Well,
it was unbelievable.
It was so bad that the editor didn't know they ended there. Because there's a good like 3 seconds before they actually cut to the cartoon. It's like somebody was like editing this live and went, oh, they're done. I guess that's the punchline at the end of this segment.
The whole thing's supposed to run 30 seconds. I got 27. So just having them stare out the front of the car, that'll probably do it. That won't seem uncomfortable at all.
You know, like they're going to be very urban in this thing. That's for certain. And you know, the one other guy who's like on steroids, boy, like this, it's unbelievable.
I like their
production all across.
There was a line that really, like, really made me laugh. They have a band that is, I guess, in competition with them, though they
the Mean Machine.
Mean Machine and Kid and Play never seem to pay any attention to them. Like it may be a very one-sided rivalry. And this band is so there's a girl who seems fine, and then there's a short dude, not really bringing a lot of stage presence, and then there's the mushmouth guy, the big hulking guy who you like could get Bane could give him elocution lessons. We'll say for how.
You know, I would have found that really annoying if he had said anything that required actually knowing what he, understanding what he was saying.
But they say that Kid and Play getting this show, it's making us, making our rap group look like losers. Like I feel like their gig doesn't.
Yeah, they say if we can get Kid and Play canceled, then we can get that gig. That was their plan at the Yo-Yo Club. Then when they're not doing the Yo-Yo Club and they're doing Condemned Building, they just plan to let everybody know to ruin the fun. But we never mentioned, I don't know that, well, I mean, maybe we did, but it's a Condemned Building. It's falling apart. Everybody's running around there. This really is the most irresponsible house party type deal I've ever seen in my life.
But I love, I've got this incredible show. You should be very impressed with where I'm at in my career. Clearly there's no cover charge. There's no bar and I'm not getting paid. Like, so it feels like you're playing in a warehouse, for nobody. That doesn't seem like that's the career move that you think it is.
And they try and leave you with a moral message at the end. You shouldn't lie. That's the moral message. Like, really? How about you shouldn't like steal a building that you don't own
and then destroy it and put
people's lives in danger.
The moral is also sort of undercut that he starts lying immediately right afterwards as well. Yet another day. Right.
Definitely learned my lesson. I'm going to take a solid 5 minutes off. I'm going to make my lies more believable. That's the work I'm willing to do on myself.
And they have a character say the phrase, "I'm going over here." All right. You're trying too hard. When you put in "I" as somebody's way of pronouncing something.
And we should be clear that even though they do the live action part, Kid and Play do not play themselves. It is someone else voices them in the actual cartoon, which is incredible.
They were busy. They were a big deal for a little while. I mean, they even had an ad where they were promoting Sprite. Like their 15 minutes.
I'm interested. Actually, I might watch just the live action parts, because looking at the IMDb here, live action parts had tons of people come in as themselves, including Salt and Peppa, Cool Mo D, Tony. It's pretty cool that in a short run, it's only 13 episodes, that they had some really neat people show up.
I wonder if they had a script for any of them.
also a good thing to look into. That'd be a lot of fun to check out. All right. So this has been the Cult Film Showdown. We are on Patreon, where you can support our efforts, and we are also on Instagram, and we are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, the home of the Octagon. As Jack was telling you, the search for the ultimate B-movie, where each film is rated in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality. And WeTalkPodcast has a Facebook, and they have an X, formerly known as Twitter. We'll be back next time with our finale of our controversial Saturday morning cartoons with Tales from the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, we'll be back. All right.
If you're not old enough, the target market of all of this kind of rap was white suburban kids. That adds an element to like the persona that these guys are making. All right. We'll talk to you next time. I missed a joke that I had written down. When the firemen are hosing down the building, I'm like, you know, I've heard a lot of 9/11 conspiracy theories over the time, but water hoses was one that never has come up.
That's a good joke.
I mean, yeah, just a moment passed.
Say it now and edit it in somewhere.
Well, I just said it, so.
Oh, yeah, but record it. Edit it in somewhere. That's a lot of work. But
I've kept recording. I'm sure that I could find a gap there to put it back in, or I just.
I'm sure you could.
Often I put in a post credits. Like give it about 5 seconds blank and then put something in, or.
Yeah, do that.